Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan of The Athletic, taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Marquise Munson behind the glass. Vingan, what's going on?
It's nice to get out of the house.
How have you been socially distancing yourself?
Well, my wife and I have been spending a lot of time at home. Catching up on television that I've missed, watching new shows, trying to figure out some home workouts since the YMCA closed yesterday.
Yeah.
So I've been doing okay. It hasn't been all that bad. I'm wondering if my dog is getting sick of us, though.
I mean, there's a chance. I told you earlier I was made to be socially distant, so here I am. And it's kind of devolved in my household with my wife. She, for last night, watched Jersey Shore for 3.5 hours, which that takes me back to my college days, but I think also illustrates maybe she's having a little bit tougher time with it than I am in terms of this socially distancing stuff. When you devolve into Jersey Shore, I think you've really gone to a dark place at that point in terms of your TV viewing habits.
Now we're talking about the original Jersey Shore.
The original Jersey Shore.
I watched the original Jersey Shore. I could understand the appeal.
I guess.
Not so much. Maybe not so much now.
Munson, were you a Jersey Shore guy?
Yeah, I used to watch it.
Yeah?
How about the spinoffs like Florabama Shore?
No, I definitely don't watch that. That is a no.
That is a travesty.
That is a travesty. I hate to see my city go out. Well, not my city, but my state go out like that.
Yes.
I hate it. Anything with Florabama in it is just awful.
Some say that the Florabama Shore was really the epicenter of the coronavirus.
I mean, it could be.
It was in China.
It wouldn't surprise me. That would be something.
It was the panhandle.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. That would actually be something that we should investigate.
Yes. Munson, the biggest story in football yesterday was
Jason Witten going to the Raiders,
right?
Yeah, man, that was huge, man. Let's talk about that for 15 minutes, first of all.
Yeah,
Jason Witten goes from the booth back to the Cowboys to the Raiders, which is an awful deal. Why is he there? I don't know why we signed him, but hey, whatever. You know,
I wonder,
John Gruden just throwing out money. Cool.
Was he that ready to get out of the booth in Monday Night Football? Because he wasn't good. Was he just like, oh, I got to go back and I have to play the NFL?
No, he was just bad.
I just physically fall apart. Yeah, I can't go back and do anything else.
Yeah, he was just bad. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, I got to do something. So I might as well just go play football for, you know, $5 million, $10 million and go steal it from a team like the Raiders who are dumb enough to pay it. So whatever. Let the Raiders do it.
But as long as they keep paying you, baby.
He was actually still semi-productive last year. I had him on my fantasy team. He still was getting touchdowns, still was getting me points. So he was still a little productive last year. He's not the 1,000-yard Jason Witten anymore, and that's pretty obvious why he's not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he'll get you 400 yards, maybe 500, and a few touchdowns in the red zone.
Tennessee ball, baby. He just keeps plugging away, Munson. Just keeps plugging away.
That's what you guys do at Tennessee, man. Just don't go away.
Just don't go away. We're just hanging around.
Cockroaches of the NFL.
That's right. That's what it goes on around here. Well, it was a big day yesterday. We mentioned on the show yesterday, it kind of broke down right around 8 o'clock, 7:45, 8 o'clock while we were on the air yesterday. Tom Brady announced that he was not going to be returning to the New England Patriots, and it's come out since then. He's heading to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which, Adam, we had Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the show last week, and he brought up the possibility of Tampa Bay. And look, like this time last week, a week and a half ago, we were talking about, you know, the Titans were still in the mix and the Chargers and all these different teams joining the fold of potential interest. I mean, even the Raiders were linked to it. And nobody was really talking about the Tampa Bay Bucs. But then you looked at their roster and you're like, okay, I mean, that makes some sense. You've got Mike Evans there. You've got Chris Godwin there. I mean, they're a team that just had a quarterback throw 30 interceptions. So you figure if you cut down on those in half, you're probably going to be in pretty good shape at that point. And the more I've thought about it, and now obviously the more that we've all thought about it, that Brady has expected to sign with the Buccaneers today, makes a whole lot of sense. That roster with him at quarterback, that could be a really, really good offense.
Well, as a fan of a team in the NFC South,
yes,
I am not thrilled by the idea of Tom Brady playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because as a Saints fan, I could count on twice a season playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Jameis Winston at quarterback. And, of course, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are going to get theirs, but you can expect Jameis Winston to screw it up somehow.
He will definitely throw you a ball or two.
So now that's been eliminated. And we'll talk about this later in the show. Also, my man, Teddy Bridgewater,
yeah, buddy,
leaving New Orleans and signing or reportedly signing with the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, the we have a lot of time on our hands, obviously, right now. But, you know, one amazing thing about the world we live in is the quickness in which players who sign with new teams show up on social media, photoshopped into their new team's uniforms. And though I understand, according to UniWatch, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be altering their uniforms, seeing Tom Brady in that arena football looking Buccaneers jersey from last season, man, it's ugly.
The one the jerseys they've played in for the last two or three years, I have no problem saying this, they have been, in my opinion, the ugliest jerseys in the history of sports. I've hated them. Like, everybody gives, you know, those Bumblebee jerseys that the Steelers wear?
Yes.
And how awful they are? They are bad. I think the Bucs jerseys have been worse than those. I mean, it's just been so bad. So I agree. Seeing these Photoshop pictures of Tom Brady in the jerseys Tampa Bay was wearing last year, it's been awful.
But, you know, on the surface, the fit with Tom Brady with the Buccaneers does make sense. We mentioned the wide receivers he has at his disposal now, two very good wide receivers. Some would say two very great wide receivers,
yeah,
if that is such a thing. You know, their running back position is a bit iffy, but that doesn't mean they couldn't improve it during the remainder of the offseason or in the NFL draft. But the quarterback stable in the NFC South now, you have Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, Drew Brees in New Orleans, Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina, and Matt Ryan in Atlanta.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty darn good and should make for some great games. But as I said, as a fan of the New Orleans Saints, I am not thrilled that Tom Brady not only is in my favorite team's division, but that means you go from playing Tom Brady once every three, 4 years maybe to playing him twice a season. I don't love it, but it does make sense for Tampa Bay to sign Tom Brady, and just the idea of Tom Brady being in a uniform that is not the New England Patriots. It has a very Michael Jordan playing for the Washington Wizards kind of feel
to it,
which is very odd to me. And perhaps over time, if and when the NFL season starts, we'll get used to it. But until then, just the idea of it is quite jarring.
Our good buddy Catfish Jake tweets in and says, is this the greatest day in the history of TB? And he's not just talking about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay Bucks land the greatest of all time. Tom Brady gets a new team and deal. Teddy Bridgewater, TB, cashes in. And Tampa Bay, the city, gets Giselle. I mean, that's not a bad day right there.
No,
that's
it's
good
not.
Point by Catfish Jake.
And according to ESPN Stats and Info, Tom Brady, of course, has six Super Bowl championships. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Rays, and Tampa Bay Lightning have a combined two championships. Tom Brady, 17 division titles as a member of the New England Patriots. The three Tampa-based professional sports teams have a combined 12 in their histories. So Tampa Bay is getting a lot more championship cachet with the addition of Tom Brady. And also, according to ESPN Stats and Info, the Buccaneers have the worst win percentage, passer rating, and completion percentage among any franchise since their first season in 1976. A win percentage of .387, a passer rating of 73.5, and a completion percentage of 56%.
Wow.
So everything's looking up for Tampa, except for the fact that Munson and I can discuss, they canceled WrestleMania, which was supposed to be at Raymond James Stadium.
Yeah, that's the only bad thing about Tampa right now.
Yeah.
They just canceled WrestleMania.
How
Why
dare
did you
they
do that? It's a.
Well, we know why they did that much.
We could have an empty. We could have an empty stadium. Why don't you do that?
They should have done it at the football stadium with no one there, but
with cannons firing off in the background.
Yes. I understand why they had made that decision, but I feel bad for the 70,000 people who probably purchased tickets and were planning a long weekend in Tampa Bay to take in the WWE festivities, and now they'll just have to watch it at home in front of an empty building, which will be the oddest WrestleMania of all time. But we're not here to talk about WrestleMania. We're here to talk about Tom Brady, even though his former teammate, Rob Gronkowski, has apparently signed with WWE. Yeah.
Yes, he has. And he will be on the show Friday.
See, everything's sort of everything's interconnected.
So he's gonna. How much you want to bet he's gonna throw a Tom Brady jab out there?
Probably.
Oh, it'll happen.
It'll happen.
Yes,
I think he will.
Anyway, back to the subject at hand.
Well, it's amazing to me kind of how quickly Tampa Bay got in the mix of this. And look, some of it is, you know, some other teams moved on and made different decisions at quarterback, like the Tennessee Titans. I still do wonder, if given truth serum, how much interest was there from John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, and the Titans in entertaining the idea of signing Tom Brady? Because it was one thing, I think a lot of Titans fans, they thought about it, you know, they liked talking about it, like thinking about it, but they never really thought that Tom Brady was actually going to leave the Patriots. Now, of course, we know that he's going to leave the Patriots, and just from some things I saw on social media yesterday, that's changed some people's mind of how they view the Titans' decision to go with Ryan Tannehill. So I do wonder how much actual credence there was and how much thought there was given by John Robinson and Mike Vrabel to make the decision to go with Brady, because I don't know this, obviously, I do think Brady would have been interested in playing for the Titans.
Yeah, because they offer a lot of what Tampa has. Certainly the caliber of wide receivers on the Tennessee Titans isn't the same as it is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though it is solid. You know, A.J. Brown had a breakout season. You have Derrick Henry. We talked about previously how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really don't have a running back. Who is it, Ronald Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah, not great. So, you know, certainly I think Tom Brady, from a personnel standpoint, and the weapons he would have had at his disposal, would have been pleased playing for the Tennessee Titans. But I wonder how much of it was just a negotiating ploy for Ryan Tannehill. I'm not
seems
sure.
Like a lot.
Yeah, and I was not on the Ryan Tannehill conference call yesterday. I know that Jared Stillman was and caused a ruckus because he doesn't know how to mute his phone.
He did.
He also needs to wipe the lens on his phone as well. He does these selfie videos, and they are grimy as heck. So, dude, if you're listening, which you're probably not because you're sleeping right now, when you inevitably listen to this later, clean your dang phone. Anyway.
Vin can bring in the noise.
I wonder if it was mostly negotiating tactics. Because if you're Ryan Tannehill and the team that you resurrected is flirting with the greatest quarterback that ever lived, perhaps you are a little bit more eager to get to the negotiating table. It worked out for Ryan Tannehill. I ultimately think it was the right decision, other than going for Tom Brady. What I'm curious in is the ripple effect that Tom Brady leaving New England has on the quarterback market. You know, who's the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots next season?
Yeah.
Is it Jameis Winston? Is it Andy Dalton? Is it Jared Stidham?
I'm rooting for Jameis so hard. I need him to go to New England.
Is
new
it
LASIK
Newton?
Surgery, Jameis. I need it to happen in New England.
What about Cam Newton?
Yeah. I mean, Munson was talking earlier. It looks like Newton maybe could go to the Chargers. That would make sense at that point. Who knows?
I thought maybe the Washington professional football team would be interested in his services, considering his former coach, Ron Rivera, is there. But I believe
true.
There were reports last night from Josina Anderson of ESPN that said that is not likely.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting story yesterday, too. The decision by the Carolina Panthers to allow Cam Newton to seek a trade, and then Cam Newton coming back at them on Instagram being like, don't be twisting it.
We'll get into that next, as well as a quarterback move taking place in the AFC South that will impact the Titans. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan from The Athletic here on a Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A beautiful Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well out there on your commute to work, in your house, wherever you're listening to this. Adam, it was a big day yesterday for quarterback movement. We've talked about Tom Brady heading to the Buccaneers. A team in the AFC South, one of the Titans' rivals, made a move at the quarterback position as well. Phillip Rivers agreeing to a deal to become the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, supplanting, you know, what's been a really crazy situation to watch in Indianapolis over the course of the last year. Andrew Luck retires out of nowhere. Jacoby Brissett takes over as quarterback. And now Phillip Rivers has taken in the starting job in Indianapolis. My first reaction to that is, I don't know if that's that much of an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett.
He's a marginal upgrade. I mean, he's still a good quarterback for someone who's, 60, 70 years old?
Yeah, he's been in the league for 50 years.
What's interesting, though, is I think
he will be 39. I mean,
Tom Brady is older than Phillip Rivers, but yes. It doesn't feel that way. But, you know, the Los Angeles Chargers, I got it right, the Los Angeles Chargers made the decision last month to part ways with their starting quarterback of 13, 14 years. And he did not have a great year last year, completed 66% of his passes, 4,615 yards, 23 touchdowns, but also turned the ball over 23 times. He turned 38 in December, by the way. He had moments of greatness. I remember that stretch, I think it was in 2014, where he had five consecutive games with like a passer rating of 120 or something like that. Yeah, he has had some fantastic regular season performances. He's never been a great postseason quarterback.
Yeah.
But I think he has enough left in the tank to lead the Colts to relevancy in the AFC South. I'm not sure if they're a playoff team with Phillip Rivers in over Jacoby Brissett, who I thought did a solid job before, getting hurt and having some accuracy issues in the second half of the season as the Colts missed the playoffs. But it certainly makes that team a bit more interesting. We talked about the quarterback roster in the NFC South. In the AFC South now you have Ryan Tannehill, Phillip Rivers. Who's the quarterback? Is it going to be Minshew or is it going to be somebody else?
Could be Foles or Minshew. Okay. I mean, they're paying Foles a lot of money. I would assume they go back with him. But.
And, of course, Deshaun Watson, who has been weakened by the trade of DeAndre Hopkins. So I still think it's the Titans' division to lose. I really do. I think they're that. As of right now, I think a lot of things will change over the course of free agency and the draft. But in this early going of the NFL offseason, I think the Titans are sitting pretty.
Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN was talking yesterday about the decision by the Colts to sign Phillip Rivers. Here's what Mike Tannenbaum had to say.
Phillip Rivers at 38 years old, Matt, needs a really strong offensive line. We saw Indianapolis re-sign Anthony Costanzo, a very talented offensive tackle. Arguably, they have the best line in the NFL. You look at the skill players around them, T.Y. Hilton at receiver, a very talented running back in Marlon Mack. This makes a lot of sense where Phillip Rivers could come in and compete with Jacoby Brissett. The best player will play. And if Rivers does, in fact, win that job, Matt, he would be a great tutor for Jacoby Brissett. So because of the strength of the offensive line of the Colts, this is a good fit to me.
And there's no question the Colts offensive line in much better shape than the offensive line of the LA Chargers. And that was, you know, we mentioned the turnovers that Rivers had last year. That was a part of it, is he knew he had to get the ball out of his hands quickly. And sometimes that was before he wanted to. And end up being some pretty bad passes optically and the interceptions that he threw. But some of that was he was just running for his life last year. And at, you know, his age, that's something you don't want to have. And Indianapolis, I think, is in a much better position from an offensive line standpoint to handle that. So we'll see how Phillip Rivers responds to that. Another move made yesterday, Teddy Bridgewater heading to the Carolina Panthers. from your beloved New Orleans Saints heading to the Panthers. And Lewis Riddick had comments about Teddy Bridgewater joining the Carolina Panthers. Here's what Lewis Riddick had to say.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is one of these situations where it's a brave new world in Carolina with under Matt Rhule. And for Teddy Bridgewater, look, he's one of those guys who has always been someone that is held in high regard in the NFL as far as his professionalism, his readiness, his decision-making on the football field, his accuracy short to intermediate, someone who has capable movement skills outside the pocket, capable scramble skills. Like, no one's going to, you know, mistake him for Lamar Jackson or someone, you know, of that nature as far as running the football, but he's somebody who can win football games and won't help the other team win football games, which really is skill set number one in the NFL. So, look, I think $20 million a year is really fair value for Teddy Bridgewater, given what he has accomplished in the past and what you would project him to accomplish in the future. And in Carolina, it really does sound like they are truly, truly in many different ways turning the page. He has some good people to work with down there, starting with Christian McCaffrey. So let's just see how it all plays out and whether or not Teddy is the right move for Matt Rhule and new owner David Tepper.
So Teddy Bridgewater heading to the Carolina Panthers. Adam, obviously you have watched Bridgewater very closely. What did you make of the move by Carolina to sign Teddy Bridgewater?
I thought it was good for Carolina. I'm, as I was talking about in the first segment, as a Saints fan, I am sad to see Teddy go. He won all five of his games when Drew Brees was on the injured list. And kept the Saints' season afloat when it looked like it could go under. You know, Teddy Bridgewater is he's an unspectacular quarterback, sort of what Lewis Riddick was talking about. He's fully capable of, you know, doing the job. He's not flashy in any way. And, of course, coming back from the debilitating knee injury that he had a few years ago when he was with the Minnesota Vikings certainly, you know, plays a part in that. But there are some connections there. The coordinator, the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, Joe Brady, worked with Teddy Bridgewater when he was with the Saints as an offensive assistant. And he has a running back in Christian McCaffrey who is quite similar to Alvin Kamara. You know, sort of a do-everything running back where you don't really need to throw the ball deep. You have the short option passes with McCaffrey in the backfield. You can hand it off to him as many times as you need to, and he can make something out of nothing more often than not. So I think it's a good situation for Teddy Bridgewater. I think the Panthers made the right decision in parting with Cam Newton, even though, as we were talking about before, there seemed to be some hurt feelings. Cam Newton salty about the Panthers' decision.
Responding in different fonts on social media.
Yeah, that was very odd, the different fonts. But I also believe Greg Olson chimed in as well and said, quote-unquote, sounds familiar in response to Cam Newton's rebuttal of the Carolina Panthers. So seems like the Carolina Panthers are alienating some of their greatest players in franchise history.
It seems like it, but I think moving on from Cam Newton is probably the right move at this point. You get Teddy Bridgewater in there. I am interested to see where does Cam end up. Like, does he go to L.A.? Do the Patriots entertain bringing in Cam Newton? Is Cam Newton going to be a starter in the league next year? Is he going to be relegated or delegated to a backup role? I mean, that's so much quarterback movement. You know, obviously Brady's getting the headlines right now, but, you know, Tannehill here, you know, Bridgewater, Cam Newton, Winston, all these different guys. It's been such a fascinating week,
Mariota,
to kind of watch Mariota, to watch all these different things unfold here. I'm very fascinated to see where Cam Newton ends up. So going to be interesting to watch as we move forward here. When we come back, the Titans got their pass rusher, but was it the right move? Was it the right guy? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Field Yates and Mike Tannenbaum of ESPN talking about Vic Beasley heading to the Tennessee Titans as the pass rusher. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan here from The Athletic. And Adam, the Titans, we knew all offseason long, we've been talking about they need to address the pass rushing position. Last year, you know, you had Harold Landry, you had Logan Ryan coming in off blitzes in Dean Pease's scheme, but you never felt like they were consistently generating enough pressure from just a four-man rush, a three-man rush, whatever the case may be. and you knew they were going to have to address it. That's what's going to take this defense from being, you know, a pretty good defense in the NFL to being one of the elite defenses in the NFL, is addressing the pass rush. Yesterday, they do that by bringing in Vic Beasley, who spent 5 years with the Atlanta Falcons, signs a one-year deal worth $9.5 million guaranteed, and could get up to $12 million, I think first reported by Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network yesterday. What did you make of the Vic Beasley signing? I think, in my opinion, you know, I think it's high risk, high reward. He had 15 and a half sacks in 2016, and really ever since then, it hasn't been all that impressive. Five sacks in 2017, five sacks again in 2018, had eight last year on an Atlanta defense that just quite frankly was awful for most of the year last year. I don't know if this fully solves the problem in terms of the Titans pass rush.
I feel like you picked the right day for me to come on with all this NFC South
related talk. There is a lot.
But Vic Beasley, his second season, he was a monster. You mentioned he had 15 and a half sacks. He also had six forced fumbles in 2016. But you know, since then, he has not lived up to that breakout season. You mentioned just 10 sacks combined in the 17 and 18 seasons. And he only had 1.5 sacks through the first seven games of last year.
Yeah.
He finished with eight, which led the Atlanta Falcons. So he had a nice second half to end the season. But you know, I agree with Mike Tannenbaum in the clip that we played entering the segment that it certainly is a high, you know, that has the potential to be a high reward contract if Vic Beasley, who's still I believe he's 28 years old,
yeah,
you know, still young enough, you know, to make a difference. So I am curious to see how he fits in with the Titans defense. It wasn't that you know, eye-popping signing that if you're a Titans fan you were hoping for in terms of finding someone to pass rush and disrupt the opposing offense. But I think it could have some potential. Just of what I know of watching Vic Beasley in the NFC South for the last 5 years, I know what he can do. And if he can find even close to that level, I do think that he will help the Titans. It's, you know, you just wonder how much he will based on his past couple of seasons.
Yeah, and some of this is going to be on Harold Landry too. And I wonder what the combination of having both of them on the field could look like, because Landry is a guy, obviously, who the Titans spent a high draft pick on, and you know, he's been okay so far. I mean, last year I think certainly took some steps in the right direction in terms of his overall development, but he's not somebody I think that you would consider, you know, one of those elite pass rushing guys. Like, you know, 4.5 sacks his rookie year, 9 sacks last year, so a good jump there, but never was really consistently getting to the backfield. And it's not just about like the sack numbers with pass rushers in the NFL. It's how much pressure can you consistently generate? How often can you throw the offense and the quarterback off schedule to what they want to do? So I'm not even as concerned about the sack numbers from Vic Beasley. It's how often can you get in the backfield and really cause some havoc back there. And maybe having both of those guys in Landry and Beasley on the field at the same time goes a long way. Also, you'll have the second year of Jeffrey Simmons. And, of course, he came in last year, you know, missed half the season pretty much with coming off a torn ACL that he had before the draft. Maybe a full offseason of him coming in. He's able to work out. Simmons is healthy heading into next year, fully healthy. Then, I mean, your defensive line could look a whole lot different at that point, and maybe that's the difference in taking this defense from a really, really good defense to one of the elite defenses in the NFL.
I was struck by something that Teron Davenport wrote yesterday as he was grading each of the Titans signings on ESPN.com. And about Vic Beasley, he wrote, quote, "He drew criticism for his lack of run support and was labeled as a, quote, unquote, sack chaser," which I thought was an interesting,
yeah,
interesting analysis. He then goes on to say the Titans pride themselves on being able to stop the run. If Beasley doesn't develop a complete game, the Titans may be searching for help again next season. So that sort of goes back to what we were talking about before. You know, the potential is there on the defensive side of the ball in terms of the pass rush for the Tennessee Titans with Harold Landry, with Jeffrey Simmons. Jarrell Casey too. But you know, for with Beasley specifically, you know, as we were talking about, or as Mike Tannenbaum was talking about as we entered the segment, they had luck last year, you know, taking a chance on Ryan Tannehill. So perhaps they will have luck this year taking a chance on Vic Beasley. But if it doesn't work, you just wipe your hands of it and try again next year. So they didn't make a significant commitment to him, at least not in terms of NFL dollars and cents. So if it doesn't work, you know, you can just go back to the drawing board. But I think it's worth the risk.
I do wonder if they're done. Like, I wonder if maybe another move in free agency comes. And obviously, it's probably not going to be a high-dollar move in free agency at this point to address the pass-rushing position. But I do wonder whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency, do you try to add another pass rusher to the mix? Because I'll be honest with you. Like, I look at Vic Beasley. I see the potential. If he realizes it, then I think it's a great move by the Titans. And it certainly has potential to have a huge impact. I don't have a ton of confidence that he's going to reach his potential here.
I think this move from Vic Beasley is basically to fill the hole that they knew they needed a pass rusher, and so why not get him for cheap, and then in the draft, use that first-round pick to focus on a tackle to replace, you know, what you're going to lose at the offensive line position. So I think this move is basically like, yeah, we need a pass rusher, and there may not be one available that's good enough to start maybe in that first round or the first, second round. So let's go ahead and sign Vic Beasley. Let's see what he does. He has a high ceiling, like Tannenbaum said, and let's see how it plays out. And then we can focus on our offensive line in the draft. And so I think it's just a strategic plan from Vrabel and John Robinson on how they go about signing players.
I agree, but I do wonder, like, after hearing Dennis Kelly talk yesterday, I mean, it sounds like he expects to be the starter at right tackle.
But do you expect that?
No, but I mean, they're paying him a lot of money to be a backup at that point. I mean, I would probably go in a different direction. I wouldn't want Dennis Kelly being the starter at the right tackle position, but you know, maybe
okay,
if
so,
the right guy's there, you take a pass rusher in the first round.
So if that's the case, then just reverse it then. Just in the second round, you know, go after an offensive tackle,
yeah.
And then in the first round, get a pass rush. There's plenty of them out there in that first round.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Isaiah Simmons will probably still be there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of Alabama players. Raekwon Davis is probably going to be there as well. So,
look at Munson. He's always coming back to the Bama players.
I'm just saying Raekwon Davis is pretty good.
Roll Tide, roll, baby.
If the Raiders could get him, I would definitely take him. You know, there's going to be Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma. He's going to be there. There's going to be a lot of guys, linebackers and you know, pass rushers that is going to be in this draft that they can potentially get in the first round, late in the first round, where the Titans sit at. So, if you feel like you can wait to the second round for an offensive tackle, then cool. He can be the backup for Dennis Kelly, and Dennis Kelly doesn't work out, as a lot of people expect him not to, then you can just, you're going to have to go to the second round pick out of wherever. Hopefully it's or out of Charlotte like they did last year with a guard or whatever. You know, it's just, I think this move from Vic Beasley is like, if it doesn't work, we can just go to our first round guy that we got. And if it does work, then, hey, we hit it right on the head.
It is interesting, Adam, when you think about, you know, obviously the Titans losing Jack Conklin, that forces them to sign Dennis Kelly, which, look, and we had Floyd Reese on yesterday. He said, look, Dennis Kelly probably wouldn't be comfortable with him starting. He might be one of the best backup options in the entire NFL.
And he can touch
touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly some versatility there from Dennis Kelly. Got those soft hands that you're looking for in your offensive line. But it does, when you talk about losing Jack Conklin, that does make the draft part of it in the first round, I think, a little bit more complicated, because as the offseason went on and more it became likely that the Titans just weren't going to be able to keep Jack Conklin, you know, we talked about addressing the pass rushing position, maybe a cornerback position with the future of Logan Ryan still in doubt. Like, you don't know what's going to happen there. Now you add the offensive tackle position to it as well. It's kind of an interesting dilemma that John Robinson and the Titans front office is in terms of when to use your draft picks on what position. Like, do you go tackle in the first round? Do you go pass rush in the first round? Some of that's going to depend on who's there and who's available, but I think certainly an interesting dilemma that John Robinson finds himself in.
Can we talk about for a second just how we talk about, we like to talk about lopsided trades in all sports, right? We like to talk about, you know, here in Nashville, for example, we always like to talk about the Predators trading Martin Erat and Michael Latta for Philip Forsberg,
yeah.
Right? How about the Titans getting Dennis Kelly for Dorial Green-Beckham?
Yep.
Where that doesn't get enough talk, I feel like, as one of the more lopsided trades that we've seen in the NFL in some time. I know neither player involved are the, you know, big-name players, but considering what Dennis Kelly has done for the Titans organization and now has been re-signed versus Dorial Green-Beckham, where I don't know where the heck he is right
now. I think he's in the league.
Is he in the XFL?
He may not even be playing football anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is.
So, you know, kudos to the Titans for making a smart move at that time a few years ago. But, you know, Jack Conklin signing with the Cleveland Browns, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland Browns, again, making big splashes in the free agent market. That worked out very well for them last year.
Yeah.
They also signed Austin Hooper, who was great for my fantasy team last year.
I wanted him for my Packers so bad.
With the Atlanta Falcons. But
I wanted him instead of Jason Witten.
Sometimes
you don't get what you want, Robbie.
Sometimes.
You know, now you sort of
often
play,
if you're a Raiders fan.
Yes. If you play revisionist history, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here. The Titans tagged Jack Conklin last year.
No, he was still there. Oh. He was still under the rookie deal last year.
Okay, still the rookie deal. Okay. They were right not to re-sign.
They didn't pick up his fifth-year option last year.
They didn't pick up his fifth-year option last year. I think they were right to do that, considering the injury history that he had.
Oh,
He had a great season, a bounce-back season, and now is cashing in. So, you know, it may look bad, but I think the Titans at the time made the right choice. But now they do have a hole there. I think Dennis Kelly is capable enough if he has to start, but I would agree with you, and I would defer to the experts in the room, that I think they would probably be better suited, the Titans would be, to find someone a little bit more seasoned or someone who has more potential in the draft than Dennis Kelly starting at tackle.
When we come back, Ryan Tannehill addressed the Nashville media yesterday and had some interesting comments. We'll get into those next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vinyan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vinyan taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And yesterday, Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee Titans quarterback, signed for the next 4 years at $118 million, addressed the media and had some interesting comments, including, you know, we all were talking about Tom Brady. We had the Tom Brady mania going on. Ryan Tannehill was paying attention to that. He heard all the Tom Brady hoopla going around, not only here locally, but from a national standpoint as well. Here's what Ryan Tannehill had to say about hearing all the Brady talk and the rumors swirling about.
I try not to buy into or read and keep up. Obviously, I did see that, hear that. But at the same time, I just try to, you know, take a step back and trust in God. He had a plan that, you know, everything's going to work out the way it should be. And, afraid that, you know, he's going to guide me along the way and give me a clear head to make good decisions along the way. So that was kind of my thought heading into, you know, this off season, and just try to stick with that.
That was Ryan Tannehill talking about the Tom Brady rumors. And Adam, it is interesting because, you know, you're coming into a situation last year. You got 1 year left on your deal. Coming as the backup quarterback. We all know what happened. He takes over as the starter, just lights it up. And you think, what more could I have possibly done for this team, short of winning a Super Bowl? That, you know, you go from 2-4. I come in, you go all the way to the AFC Championship game, and then all of a sudden you start hearing these Tom Brady rumors swirling about, which were not being they weren't swirling about from inside the Titans organization. But I think it is interesting in terms of, we talked earlier about maybe being a negotiation ploy. Not talking down these Brady rumors if you're the Titans. You're just letting them kind of swirl about. We mentioned in the combine in Indianapolis, just the heap of praise that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel were putting on Derrick Henry. Didn't quite get the same vibe from Ryan Tannehill. Now, of course, we know the deal that Tannehill signed is done. But it had to be tough at some point this offseason for Tannehill, just kind of hearing all of these Brady rumors swirling about, even though he tries to act like, no, I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it.
That's a very professional athlete thing to say.
Yes, it is.
you know, I don't listen to the rumors. I don't read what the reporters write. They all know it. Speaking from our experience, you know, when we were allowed in the dressing room.
Oh, the good old days.
When the Predators were playing hockey, you know, in the back, they have their players' lounge. They have a huge TV, a huge screen TV. And on trade deadline day, it was on the NHL Network. It was either on TSN or Sportsnet, whichever one NHL Network was simulcasting. They know all this stuff. They hear this stuff. Ryan Tannehill absolutely heard and I have to imagine, was absolutely paying attention to the fact that Tom Brady and the Titans were doing this tango during the down period of the NFL calendar. So, he said all the right things, and ultimately I believe it when he said that he tried to block it out. Yeah. But to say, I kind of heard about it, I don't believe. He had to know. It was happening all the time.
Also had some strong comments yesterday, did Ryan Tannehill, about Derrick Henry. As we know, Derrick Henry placed under the franchise tag. Here's what Ryan Tannehill had to say about that situation.
Yeah, obviously really excited to have Derrick back. You know, I'd like to have seen him, you know, get a deal just because I have a lot of confidence in him and what he can do. But, excited to have him back. He's an integral part of this team, this offense. And I know he's going to, you know, do great things for us this year. So very excited to have him back. And like I said, know he's going to be a special player for years to come.
I think Ryan Tannehill kind of laid it out there in a way where most of the Titans players in the locker room, probably all the Titans players inside the locker room, feel the same way. They want to see Derrick Henry get a longer-term deal done. The franchise tag is nice. That means he'll be back next year. But everybody, I think, inside that locker room wants to see Derrick Henry get a long-term deal.
There's a lot of risk in what the Titans have done over these past couple of days and signing Ryan Tannehill and tagging Derrick Henry, but still being able to negotiate. You know, we've talked about how the shelf life of a running back in the NFL is limited. And Derrick Henry obviously had a fantastic season. And Ryan Tannehill, when he became the starter for the Tennessee Titans, had an incredible season statistically. You know, but there's significant risk in Tannehill's case of seeing if he can sustain that over a full season. And in the case of Henry, whether or not he can do the same while you potentially negotiate a longer-term contract. So I think the decisions that they made were the most sensible and that they brought back Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. But I feel like there's a lot of risk associated with committing to a quarterback for that long, like Ryan Tannehill, despite the second half of last season, and just in general, big money to a running back. We've seen it with Todd Gurley. We've seen it with other running backs. I mean, look at David Johnson.
Yeah.
Traded the other day.
Still unbelievable.
But you know how quickly running backs go from being elite to substandard. It happens very quickly. So if I were the Titans, I wouldn't negotiate with Derrick Henry. I feel like you have to at this point because they put the non-exclusive tag on him, right? But I would be very careful because, yes, he had an unbelievable year, but one bad hit or one wrong move, and that's a terrible investment. So the Titans did the most sensible things, but there's a ton of risk involved, at least in my opinion.
And, you know, in how much quarterback movement there is this year in the NFL, there could be that temptation there if you're a quarterback, especially a quarterback that's going to be in high demand, like Ryan Tannehill would have been, to test the open market. But Tannehill felt like yesterday he didn't need to do that. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I wanted to be back if possible. I was, you know, had to do what was best for me and my family to some degree. But I did want to be back if we could work it out. And didn't really feel like I needed to test the market. Like I said, at this point in my career, I want to win. And I believe in this organization and this team and this coaching staff. And definitely a relief to get it done and know where I'll be and know we can start working on, you know, getting together and putting the work in to be great this year.
Yeah, and I think, look, when you look at the fit here in Nashville, the offense they run, the success he had with A.J. Brown last year, Jonnu Smith, all of these different weapons offensively, and that even goes without saying Derrick Henry, it was certainly a great fit here in Nashville. If you're Tannehill, you know that. So look, you can talk about maybe going somewhere else, testing the market. Maybe somebody else is willing to pay you more money. Who knows? But you're taking a risk at that point if you're Tannehill of going to a situation that's not quite as conducive to your success as you found here in Nashville. And so far, and look, it's 13 games worth of sample size. We're going to find out a lot more as we go on next year, the season beyond that as well, as to what this Tannehill deal is going to look like and what a fit he's going to be here in Nashville. But so far, the fit for Tannehill with the Titans has been just about as seamless as it gets.
And if you're Ryan Tannehill, think about where you were a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, being traded for what? What was the trade? Like a seventh round
fourth
pick?
Rounder, I think.
Fourth rounder, and Miami paid most of his salary,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So
I think Titans played like $2 million.
Right. So you went from being an everyday starter with the Miami Dolphins to coming in and having to resurrect your career as a backup. He and his representation played it smart. They saw in Tennessee an opportunity to supplant the starter in Marcus Mariota, and that's exactly what happened. And now Marcus is going to Las Vegas and hoping to do the same exact thing to Derek Carr.
Yep.
But when you're Ryan Tannehill and you are basically a throw-in, it's, you know, at this point last year, to have the season that you did, I wouldn't want to leave either, because you have found a coaching staff and an offensive system and a roster that seems to fit you and got you paid. So why would you want to go anywhere else? So I agree with him. I mean, the best move for him was to stay put, and that's ultimately what happened.
Yeah, and now the question is going to become, okay, can you live up to that contract? Because it's one thing coming in, you know, the Titans aren't on the hook for a lot of money last year. If it doesn't work out, you just kind of move on at that point. Now they've invested in you. You have to live up to the contract. Here's what Tannehill had to say about that.
It's kind of like I said earlier, it's just about staying true to who you are and what you believe in. I'm not a guy who really gets caught up in outside noise or opinions or anything like that. You know, I guess, I don't know, I guess maybe just being through it, being in it for so many years kind of just calluses you to it and taught me to just kind of keep my distance from all and not feed into it. So at this point, it's just about sticking true to what you believe in, who you are, keep your head down, keep working, and you know, don't worry about the outside noise.
And that's a good mindset to have if you're a quarterback, and he's done that so far in Nashville. He handled the situation as a backup quarterback, I think, about as well as you could have handled it. And then when the transition happened between him and Marcus Mariota, handled that extremely well as well. So all signs are positive right now for Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, and we'll see, can he be somewhat as effective next year as he was this season? It's going to be difficult to have the same monster type of season next year for Ryan Tannehill, but if you can get close to it, you're going to be in pretty good shape if you're the Titans at that point. When we come back, Greg Aumann covers the Tampa Bay Bucks from The Athletic, will join us. We'll get into Tom Brady heading down to Tampa Bay. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, with Robbie Stanley and Adam Vingan here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No